sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Well, thanks again, Dave, and welcome to Yesteryear, the best of the golden age of radio. On today's program, we'll enjoy a slice of suspense from the popular 1940s suspense and adventure series, The Clock. But first, let's head over to the Jot'em Down store for a bit of comedy with Lum and Abner. The old Jot'em Down store first opened for business back in April of 1931 on station KTHS in Hot Springs, Arkansas. By July of 31, Lum and Abner had moved to Chicago as a summer replacement for NBC. By 1935, the five-day-a-week show was on the air on the Blue Network. Though seldom described on the air, Lum and Abner's Jot'em Down store took on some vivid characteristics. Here hung all manner of country necessities, from buggy whips and harnesses to wash tubs and garden tools. Lum and Abner switched to CBS for Postum in 1938, running three times a week until 1940, when for a while the stars dropped out of radio to make movies. In 1941, Lum and Abner returned as a four-day-a-week feature for the Blue Network, Lum and Abner broadcasting its final show, May of 1953. Here's Lum and Abner from January 30th, 1942, on this edition of Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler, I sent the up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Bert and Marge, Amos and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, volio, dodio, do.
Granny's Abner, I believe that's our ring.
Aye, dog is Lum, I believe you're right.
Now, see. Hello, Jot'em Down store. This is Lum and Abner.
And now, let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, at last, Lum is a free man. The courts could find no basis for a trial against him and dropped the case. So once again, the old partners are reunited and are happily running the Jot'em Down store together. As we look in on the little community today, we find the old fellows in the store. Lum is hard at work on the financial records. Cedric has just entered. Listen.
Well, howdy, Cedric.
Howdy, Mr. Abner.
Come on in.
Yes, sir. Hello, Mr. Lum. Hello, Mr. Lum.
Ain't no use talking to Lum, Cedric. He's concentrating on the bookkeeping. Been at it all morning long. Just tickles him to death to be working on them books again.
It does, huh?
Well, it must, the amount of time he spends on them. I done all the book work while I was running the store here alone, and never take me more than 5 or 10 minutes, and just appears to take him hours to do it.
Hey, Abner, here's another entry I can't figure out.
Yeah, what is it, Lum? Oh, his old Lum's been away from them books so long, he sort of forgot how to do them.
You got Grandpappy Spears charged with 7 or something on one day, and 2 or something the next day, and 3 the next day. But it don't say what that something is.
Well, I don't know. Must be a mistake. I don't recollect selling Grandpap nothing. Sir, wait a minute. What day was that, that sevens down there for?
Oh, on a Tuesday.
Tuesday. Oh, that last Tuesday. Yeah, I recollect now. Oh, them's just a record of checker games that Grandpap win from me.
For goodness sakes. Putting stuff like that in the books. No wonder I can't get nothing to balance.
Well, we had to have something to keep score on. They was laying there open. Fix it up somehow, Lom. Dog is a sure relief to have Lom back in the store, Cedric. I can just sit back and let him worry about all such of that now. He's a heap better at worrying than I am.
Say, Mr. Abner, what I come in for was to ask if you had any of them big dolls left. The kind you had just before Christmas.
Oh. Well, yeah, I believe we do have a couple of them, Cedric. You going to get one for Clarabelle?
No, Mom, it's for me.
You? Doggies, ain't you a little big for a doll, Cedric?
Oh, no, Mom. See, I need a doll for something I'm taking up. I'm going to be a ventriloquist.
A what?
I can't speak that word.
Oh, you mean a ventriloquist?
Yes,
yeah.
Mom, that's it.
Oh, I've seen them at carnival, yeah. I don't believe you can throw your voice, though, Cedric. That's awful hard to do.
Oh, I can do it all right. See this little round thing here?
Uh-huh.
See, I just put that in my mouth, and I can throw my voice any words I want to.
Well, I do it all.
Surprise my friends. That's what he said.
What, who said?
The feller sold it to me. Just cost $1.50.
Well, I doggy, that sounds like a bargain. Let's hear you do it once, Cedric.
Well, get me the doll first. I got to have a doll to sit on my lap and talk to like
you did. Sure. Let's see now, where'd we put them things? Oh, yeah, they're right over here behind the counter. I know where they're at. Yeah, I'll get them.
This feller'd say, hello, Bobo, and then the doll would answer right back and say, hello, Mr. Gorky.
Well?
Mr. Gorky was the feller's name, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then they'd tell some jokes and stuff. Boy.
Yeah, here we are, Cedric, yeah. How's this one? This one do?
I reckon so. I'd rather have a boy doll, but I guess this one's all right.
Yeah. Well, here. Now, just sit on your lap, and let's hear you talk with it.
Boy, this is fun.
Yeah, I've always loved to hear them fellas do it.
Put on some entertainments down the school.
Oh.
Listen.
Yeah.
Hello, Bobo. That's funny. It don't answer, does it?
Well, you got to do the talking for Bobo, too, Cedric.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot to put the ventriloquist thing in my mouth.
Oh, hello, me.
Now, listen. Hello, Bobo. Hello, Cedric.
Is that supposed to be Bobo?
Yeah. Bobo sounds an awful lot like me, don't he?
Yeah, sounds exactly like you, Cedric. I don't believe that thing's much good.
Oh, yes, it is. It worked terrible good for that other fella. I just need to practice, I reckon.
Yeah, well, maybe when you practice a little.
Come here a minute. I need your help.
I can't now, Law. Me and Cedric is practicing ventriloquisms.
Ventriloquism?
Yeah.
Hello, Bobo. Hello, Cedric.
Here, Cedric, Law.
For goodness sakes. Forget that, Abner. Come over here and explain some of this stuff you've written in these books.
Well, all right. Excuse me, Cedric. What is it you can't figure out now, Lom?
It is. I don't see how one feller could get things so mixed up in such a short time. You're a genius. A genius.
I am.
Hello,
well, good
Bobo.
For me.
Hello, Cedric. Hello, Bobo.
Listen to Cedric.
Cedric, hush that up. Granny, this is a noisiest one place.
Well, what is it you don't understand, Long?
Well, in the first place, why did Ms. Barton bring back a sack of sugar and 2 pounds of lard and 3 pounds of hominy?
Bring back? I never seen her do that. Must have done it when my back was turned.
Was the stuff spoiled or ruined or anything?
I don't know. She must have sneaked in here with it, Long. Or maybe Mousie was here when she come in.
No, you must have been here because you writ it down here. This is your handwriting.
Let's see. Well, wait a minute. That don't say nothing about bringing stuff back. I just sold her that long.
Not according to this. You got her credited with these groceries.
Huh?
You put it on the wrong side of the books, what you done.
Wrong side? Well, what difference does that make?
Well, it makes all the difference in the world. Yeah, I think now I understand this next entry where you sold Ezra Seastrunk $10 worth of cash.
$10 worth of cash? I never done no such a thing.
According to the book, she did.
Never done it. I never done it. I recollect Ezra come in here and paid me $10 on his account. Well, that varmint must have turned right around and stole it back when I weren't looking. That snake in me.
Well, wait a minute.
I'm going to call him right now. I dog as he can't get away with that.
Abner,
Mom.
Get away from that phone.
No, sir, I'm going to get that varmint.
Let me out of here. Let me out of here.
Oh, my goodness. What's the matter, Cedric?
That sound like my voice is coming from the feed room?
Oh, no. Sounded like it's coming from right where you're at there, Cedric.
Did, huh?
Yeah.
Shucks, I reckon I ain't ready for a long-range voice throwing yet, then. I better just stick to Bobo.
Yeah, I believe you have.
Hello, Bobo. Hello, Cedric. Hello, Bobo. Hello, Cedric.
For goodness sake, Cedric, cut that out. It's getting on my nerves. Can't you see I'm trying to do some work around here?
Yes, Mom.
Wait a minute, Abner. Put down that phone.
All right, Dogies, I'm going to get this thing straightened out right now, Lom. I ain't going to let that... Hello?
Give me that phone.
Is Ezra... what's the matter with you?
There now. Don't go call nobody else out.
Well, Lom, if that Ezra C. Strunk stole $10 from us,
Stole $10 from us.
He must have. That's what you said. It's written right there on the book.
You wrote it down there yourself.
Huh?
He brung it in here and paid you $10, and you got it down on the books wrong. That's all.
Oh.
Now just calm yourself down and try to explain some more of these entries.
Yeah, I'd have sent him to the penitentiary coming in here stealing from me.
He never stole it.
All right.
Now listen to this one.
Speak to him about it, though, just to be sure.
Thursday.
Huh?
I'm trying to find out what this means.
Oh.
Says Thursday, arose early with the rosy-fingered dawn. Whatever that is. Ate a light breakfast and off to work. Saw a robin on the way to the store. Robins are nice birds.
Is that in there?
Yeah. Then on the next page it says, Friday. Early to work again. Saw my friend Mr. Robin once more.
What's wrong with me?
Only somehow he looked different. May have been a sparrow.
Been walking in my sleep here, sir.
Today is payday. The store is getting to seem like a mother to me.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. I believe I know who put that in there.
Yeah, I feared I do, too.
Yeah, that's that mousey. He told me he's keeping a dairy for himself.
Dairy?
What he said.
Oh, diary.
Huh?
Well, he can't keep it in the bookkeeping books, I'll tell him that. Benny, this ain't no way to do business.
Of course not.
You tell him that either he quits writing diaries all over everything else, or get out here and find yourself a new job. Now, Granny, I'm getting pretty Wait a minute.
Huh?
Yonder he comes now. I'll tell him myself.
Yeah, he must have got his delivery done already. I'll say one thing for him, Lon. He does his work fast. I'll say that for him.
Yeah, but that ain't no excuse for him ruining the ledger books.
Oh, no. He oughtn't to write such as that in there. You ought to get yourself a tablet. That's what you ought to do. Put it all down there.
I'm gone from the store just 2 weeks, and when I get back, everything's so mixed up, you can't tell nothing about nothing. Hello, Mousy. Come in. I want to talk to you.
Well, howdy, Lon. I'd like to talk to you, too, if I can. Can I get off early today?
Get off early? What for?
Well, I want to go home if I can. I've got a surprise for Gussie. You see, I've just become a ventriloquist.
A ventriloquist?
Yes, sir. See this little thing? I just bought it for $1.50.
Boy, did you get one of them too, Mousy? Look, I got one here.
Well, really? How does it work, Cedric?
Oh, pretty good. Here, do you want to try talking to my doll?
Why, yes, I'll try. Let me get this ventriloquist device adjusted first.
Now, just a minute, you
fella.
Here
I go.
This is gone purring out.
Hello, Bobo. Hello, Mousy.
Oh, boy, that's good. Do it again.
Hello, Bobo. Hello, Mousy.
Listen to this. Let me out of here. Let me out of here.
Doggies, I wish I had me one of them things.
I wish you'd all get out of here so I could get some work did.
Huh?
Of all the silly, stupid things I've ever heard of, this kept everything.
Well, I think they're sort of cute, Lon.
You're all acting like a bunch of half-grown youngins. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh,
now, go on, get out of here. Go on, get out before I throw you out a lot further than you can throw your voices. Go on, now, get out.
All right, come on, Cedric. Come on, Mousy. Say, Cedric, you think that feller's still in town? I'd love to get me one of them things.
Reckon he is if we hurry. Come on, Mousy.
Yes, sir. We'll be back after a while, Lon.
I've never seen such goings on among road men folks in my life. Hey, Cedric! Cedric, you left your ventriloquist device. Cedric! Come on. $1.50 for that thing. Curious looking gadget. Hello, Bobo. Hello, Lon.
Hello, Bobo. Hello, Lum.
There from January of 1942, Lum and Abner. We'll head back to the old Jot-'em-Down store for more adventure with the boys as yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with yesteryear.
Let's head back again to the Jot-'em-Down store for more adventure with the boys, Lum and Abner.
Granny's Abner, I believe that's our ring.
I know it's Lum, I believe you're right.
I'll see. Hello, Jot-'em-Down store. This is Lum and Abner.
And now, let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, Lum is very much relieved now that the burglary charge against him has been dismissed by the judge at the county seat. The old fellows are reunited in the store business, and as we look in on the Jot-'em-Down store today, we find Lum just completing the job of untangling the books that Abner attempted to keep while Lum was away from the business. Listen.
Oh, Granny, glad to get that over with.
Huh?
Oh, I'm wore to a frazzle. War to a frazzle.
Well, I don't see what you're so wore out about. Just been sitting down there for 3 days studying over them bookkeeping books. I've had to do all the work.
Well, you don't know what work is till you've tried to straighten out a mess like that. Any of them books was the worst mixed-up things I ever seen.
They was, huh?
Yeah, after this, I think you better just let me make all the entries and do the posting and that ledger stuff, Abner.
Well, I wish you would, Lum. I never did see no sense to keeping them books, no way.
No sense to it?
No, sir.
Granny, these books are just the foundation of our whole business structure, that's all. These books is what tells us where we're at.
Well, I know where I'm at without looking at no book.
I mean, where we're at financial.
Oh.
Tells us exactly how much our expenses is, both the overhead and the underhead expense.
Well, we ain't going to have no overhead this year, Lum. We put a new roof on, you know, last year.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, we won't have no expense up there overhead.
Overhead expense means salaries and what it costs us to do business and such as that.
Huh?
You hear, Dad.
I reckon so. I never knowed what that meant by it, though. I know that.
Tells us how much we got out on the credit and how much we owe and
well,
all.
Well, we can tell how much we owe, but just looking in that drawer full of bills over there. Facts is, I'd rather not hear about them.
Well, you got to face them things, Abner. If you're going to be in business, you got to keep track of your bills and obligations.
Yeah, I reckon so.
It's the only way you can tell exactly what your profits and losses was for the year.
Well, all you got to do to tell that, Mom, is just look in the cash drawer at the end of the year and see if you got more money or less money than you had the first of the year. That's easy.
Yeah, but that ain't an official way to do it, though, Abner.
Ain't, huh?
Oh, big business like this, we ought to keep records to make our income tax from, such as that.
Income tax?
Yeah, Granny, that just reminds me, too. I thought I was done. We ain't made that out yet.
Well, I don't know nothing about making out income tax long.
Well, you couldn't learn no younger. We'll do it right now. Just write down what I tell you. Here,
uh-huh.
Take this income tax blank. I got it over at the post office this morning. Dick Huddleston had an extra one.
Oh, that's what that thing is. Doggy, that gets me mixed up just looking at it. Look at these things they want to know.
It does look complicated, but if you've got a head for figures, it ain't nothing to it. Let's see now. I've already written down our name and address there.
Yeah, jot them down. Store, Lum, Edwards, Abner, Feebody, Props. Yeah.
Just start with that top line there. It says income and stuff.
Yeah, well, now, what do you want me to put down there?
Just a second. Let me check with my books here.
I wish I knowed how to do such as this.
Here we are. According to this, our net income for 1940 was
$462.78. 400? I doggies, was it that much long?
Sure. We're in the upper brackets now, Abner.
Well, good for us.
Yeah, just write that down in the column there.
Right here, huh?
Right after the dollar sign.
$462.78.
That's
right
it.
There. Dollar sign in front, a cent sign behind.
What's that next there now?
Huh? Oh, dividends, interest on bank deposits, notes, corporation bonds.
Put down $100, or make it $200.
$200? Well, I never knowed we had any of them corporation bonds and all that long.
Well, we ain't, but I don't want them fellas in Washington to know we ain't got any.
Oh.
Yeah, we gotta make this look important.
Yeah, that's a thing to do. I'll put it down $300. That's what I'll put it. $300. Oh, wait, that looks bigger.
What's next?
Annuities. We got any of them?
Does it say what kind of annuities?
No, it just says annuities here.
Well, just say that we're out of them right now, but we'll order some next time we go to the wholesale house.
Out. We'll order. Put there.
Any some of the questions they ask here.
Well, what is annuities, Lom?
Oh, they... You mean you don't know what they're?
No, I don't believe I do.
You undoubtedly know what them things.
I don't, honor.
I'd be ashamed to admit to it.
Well, I'm
better go to the
death,
next question now.
Well, you ain't told me what them annuities is.
I said go on to the next question, Abner. Granny's, we ain't got time to stop and ask questions. This ain't no quiz.
Well, all right. Let's see. Net short-term gain from sale or exchange of capital assets.
Put down yes.
Yes. Net long-term gain from sale or exchange.
Put down yes to all of them things there.
Yes.
Skip down there where it says deductions.
Yes.
Yeah, we got enough read down for income.
Yes. Deductions. Now, what is them, Long?
Well, that's things you can deduct. Stuff you can take off.
You mean like your hat and coat?
No, of course not.
Well, you can take your hat off. Fact says you're supposed to when you go in the house.
Figures, Abner.
I reckon the government put that in there to learn everybody to be polite.
No, it ain't got nothing to do with being polite. It just means stuff you can subtract from your income. Since you... Well, they're all written down there. Contributions paid, interest, taxes.
Oh, yeah, I see where you're reading now. Yeah, how much was our taxes last year, Lom?
Now, look it up. Come pretty high.
I know they're out of sight. Come out of sight.
There. Taxes on store building and equipment, $31.16.
For the land, sakes.
Plus a $4.22 tax on the deliver truck.
Yeah, poor.
That reminds me we can take off for gasoline mileage on that truck, I think.
We can, huh?
It's 7 cents a mile or something like that.
Well, here, we can do better than that, Mom. We just had that truck the last half of the year. So the first half of the year, we ought to be able to take off the whole truck.
My granny's, that's right.
Why, sure, we never had it the first half.
No. Truck cost us about $400. Half of that, just $200.
$200.
Put around $200 there.
Good for me for thinking of that. $200.
What does it say next there?
Losses from far, storm, shipwreck, or... I know, because we can get some out of that shipwreck there, Lom.
We never had no shipwreck.
Well, don't you recollect last summer, me and you went fishing down there at the mill pond, our boat turned over?
Oh, that's a boat wreck. That don't count.
Well, you ruined a pair of $3 shoes when you fell in the water. I recollect how the soles come off of them, melted away again, they got wet.
Well, Giverman ain't gonna buy me a new pair of shoes if that's what you're driving at.
That was a boat wreck.
Now, better leave that out of there, Abner.
Cheating yourself, but I'll leave it out.
What's next there?
Shipwreck or other casualties or theft. Well, I know we ain't never stole nothing this last year. I don't mean
us doing the thieving. That means did somebody rob us.
Oh.
But I don't recollect that anybody did.
Well, how about last fall when that oldest Blevins boy broke in taking two sacks of sugar?
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yes,
write
sir.
That down.
Yes, sir.
Two sacks of sugar taken by Milton Blevins.
Yeah, Milton.
We'll leave his name out of it, Abner. His mama come in and apologized for him, paid us back, I think.
Yes, she paid for it. Yeah. Well, I just put down two sacks of sugar. Won't say who taking them.
Yeah. What's next?
Bad name on the boy. Bad debts.
Well, that's easy. Just put down Squire Skimp in big, heavy letters.
Squire M.K. Skimp.
That's it. Put some underlines on
it. Look how big I'm writing it there.
Wait till all them friends he claims he's got in Washington sees that.
That'll fix him.
You see now.
Okay, put another line under it.
Skip some of that stuff and get down there to where it says dependence.
Dependence. Oh, here. Dependence. Now, who do we put down for that loan?
Me and you. We both depend on the store here for a living, so
put
us down for $400 apiece.
$400?
That's how much he says you can get for each depend.
$800. Hey, see, now, how about Elizabeth and little Pearl? They depend on me.
Well, put them down. That's 800 more. 1,600 altogether.
Yeah.
We're doing good.
Mousy, he works for us, and Gussie, his woman, depends on Mousy.
Why, sure.
Well, facts is, her brother, Snake Hogan, ain't working, so he sort of depends on Mousy too long.
That's right. There's $1,200 for the three of them. Makes a total of...
$1,200.
1,600.
1,200. That's all I got there.
$2,800, ain't it?
Yeah, $2,800.
Good for us. It's the best income tax we've ever had.
Oh, this is a dandy.
Yeah, go ahead and figure up now how much we got to pay the giver.
Well, I don't know how to do that, Mom.
Ain't nothing to it.
That's figuring. I don't know.
Just subtract them deductions from the income figures and take 4% of the balance.
Oh, well, let's see now. Let's see what I do.
Simply falling off a long backer.
That's 6, bring down 2, and carry 1. Let's see now.
A lot of people get worried and upset over having to figure out their income tax.
North.
Get nervous about it.
4, 6.
I don't know. I sort of enjoy it myself.
3.
I reckon stuff like that just comes sort of natural to me.
6 and 3.
Having
9.
A good head for figures and all.
4 and 4 is 8. There it is.
Got
it? Right there. Yeah. I got something here, Lum. It don't sound just right, though.
What is it?
Well, according to me here, it's 8,912 sacks of sugar.
Sugar?
That's what it says.
Oh, no, Abner. Wait a minute. It's supposed to be in dollars. Let's see that.
I done just what you told me to.
Undoubtedly made a mistake there.
No, never.
Oh, well, here you forgot to put in a decimal point.
Huh?
It brings it down to $89.12. But wait a minute. We don't owe that.
We don't.
No, according to this, that's how much the government owes us.
Owes us?
Granny, this is the best news I've heard in a long time.
Let's send them a bill for it right now.
Government owes us $89.12.
Send them a bill. I'll make it out.
Oh, no, we oughtn't to take it, Abner.
Huh?
No.
Won't take it.
I'm just thinking here. Government's awful busy these days, and they're carrying a terrible big burden with defense work and all that. We just write them a letter and tell them to forget about it this year.
I reckon that would be the best thing to do. Let it go for 1 year. Here, I'll get out some paper and we'll write them.
How much money have we got in the cash drawer over there?
Well, I cashed in $37 there this morning. I brung the money in. That's what I put in it.
What do you say we get it out and put it in an envelope and send it to the government, too?
Just give it to them?
Yeah. They need it a whole lot worse than we do, Abner.
Yeah, I reckon so.
Besides, putting money in the government's the best investment you or me or any citizen of this country could make right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, how are we going to put that down here on the books, Long?
Oh, I reckon we'll just put down investment in freedom, $37.
From February of 1942, it's been Lum and Abner. In a moment, listen to the suspense series, The Clock, as Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Well, thank you, Dave, and again, welcome back to Yesteryear. From Pine Ridge and the comedy of Lum and Abner, let's turn to some mystery and suspense. Our next featured program is The Clock, a series of suspense and adventure which told of races against time, narrated by a deep-voiced fellow with a Father Time image. These stories were carried on for 2 seasons on ABC, beginning in 1946. The program was written by Lawrence Klee, directed by Clark Andrews, with music composed by Bernard Green. Gene Kirby was the announcer. Here from December of 1946 is The Clock, and the episode entitled Aunt Emmy, on this edition of Yesteryear.
Sunrise and sunset, promise and fulfillment, birth and death. The whole drama of life is written in the sands of time.
We present a new series of radio programs, The Clock.
City people are gregarious by nature, and they feel more at home in a crowd. Rural folks, on the other hand, usually prefer solitude. And they derive a certain comfort from the lonely acres, the quiet, and the peace. My personal choice? Well, that's not an easy question to answer. Time moves quickly in the city, and the minutes are filled with a certain hubbub and excitement that throbs and pulses like a living thing. While in the country, time is a more leisurely pace. The man can spend his hours in reflection. No offense to my city friends, of course, but I'd say I was a country bumpkin at heart. Particularly now, with winter coming on. When the snow begins to fly, the sleigh bells tinkle a merry tune along the backwoods road.
Miss Hobson's house is just round the bend. About half a mile up the road.
You know her, Mr. Kibbe?
Miss Hobson? I reckon I do. We've both been living in these parts for quite a spell.
I haven't seen my aunt in over a year. She was Mother's favorite sister. Oh, an awful lot of fun.
You going to spend some time here?
I've been invited for several weeks.
Oh, over the holidays, eh?
That's right.
Yeah. Seems to me your aunt ought to be mighty happy to have a cheerful young gal like you around for a while. It's kind of lonely way up here in the woods.
I suppose it does.
And your aunt ain't been coming to town as much as she used to. Fact of the matter is, I thought the house was closed.
Really?
Yeah, ain't seen Miss Hobson in so many months, I figured maybe she'd gone away. Then I heard she'd gotten sick and she went somewhere to the hospital.
No.
Well, them things happen.
I'm sure she must be all right now, or she wouldn't have invited me. Do you know what was wrong with her?
No, I couldn't say, miss, but at least she come back.
What do you mean, at least she came back?
Well, now, I ain't going to spoil your holiday with country gossip.
If it has anything to do with Aunt Emmy.
Oh, no, nothing like that. I just thinking that someone else went away. Never returned. Disappeared like a puff of smoke. Ain't found hide nor hair of him for 2 months.
You try to frighten me with a country ghost story, Mr. Gibby?
It's a fact, miss. Fella named Collins. Albert Collins. Came up through these parts one October evening. Round Halloween. And he ain't been seen since.
It would be Halloween. Was he carried away by a witch on a broomstick?
You can joke about it, miss. But the folks round about here have the feeling that Collins was murdered.
Murdered?
Of course, that's just hearsay. When a man disappears without leaving a trace... Yeah, nice fellow, this Collins. He was a necktie salesman.
Necktie salesman?
Yeah, he carried a fancy line. He one of the boys at the general store said that he was probably strangled with one of his own neckties.
I don't think that's very funny, Mr. Kibbe.
Sorry. Get up there. Get up there, Gideon.
I was hoping it'd snow this way for the holidays.
Well, you'd better start hoping it'll stop.
Why?
There's over 2 foot on the ground already. If she keeps up like this till morning, the Hobson farm will be snowed in.
Oh, I won't mind. It'll be fun. What could be more romantic than a snowdrift in front of the door and a roaring fire?
Yeah, I guess Miss Hobson's put in enough supplies. She's been caught in the blizzard before. Water, Gideon, water!
What are you stopping here for?
The house is behind them trees, over yonder.
Oh, yes, I see it.
Can't go no further in the snow. Reckon you'll have to walk from here.
Good thing I brought my galoshes. Oh, this is grand. What do I owe you?
50 cents, miss.
Here, keep the change.
Thank you kindly.
Hello there.
Who's that?
Don't rightly know.
Looking for someone?
Yeah, I'm going to Miss Hobson's house.
I'm Sid, a hired hand.
Then give the young lady a lift with them bags.
I said I'm Miss Hobson's hired hand, not hers.
Oh, never mind. I'll carry them myself.
I'll take one of them.
Yeah, that's decent of you. Well, so long, young lady. Have a good time for yourself.
Thank you.
Get up, Gideon, get up.
I guess we'd better go.
You sure you got the right place?
Of course. I'm Miss Hobson's niece. She invited me.
Well, you ain't expected.
What?
I said she doesn't know you're coming.
But she invited me.
That's news to me.
Would you mind picking up that bag and leading the way?
Suit yourself. All I know is that she don't know you're coming. I only hope she don't get mad. Miss Hobson.
What is it, Sid?
Looks like you got company.
Lucy.
Hello, Aunt Emmy.
Oh, this is a pleasant surprise.
Surprise?
I guess I better get some more wood for the fire.
Why didn't you tell me you were coming?
Aunt Emmy, what's he looking at?
All right, Sid. Get your wood.
Yes, ma'am.
He's not very pleasant, is he?
Sid? Oh, he means no harm. He works hard, but only for me. He's handy to have around, even though his disposition isn't very good. Oh, sit down, Lucy, and tell me how you've been.
Oh, I've been fine.
I haven't seen or heard from you in over a year. Where have you been keeping yourself?
I was just going to ask you the same question. I heard you were ill, Aunt Emmy.
Oh, it wasn't serious. I need to rest more than anything else. I left the hospital just 2 days ago.
What was the matter with you?
It was mental, more than anything else.
Mental?
Well, I mean, it was mostly in my imagination. Oh, but let's not talk about that now. I'll show you to your room, Lucy. Come with me.
All right. Oh, you've got such a pretty place here, Aunt Emmy. It's so warm and comfortable.
We don't depend on just a fire for our heat, Lucy. I have a modern furnace in the cellar, you know. Sid said he keeps it hot enough to fry a man alive.
What did you say?
Why, nothing. What's the trouble, Lucy? You look rather nervous.
Oh, I guess I'm just a little tired, that's all. It's been a long trip.
Yes. Well, you'll get a good night's rest in here. This guest room's very comfortable. And it's certainly nice to have someone in it again. Hasn't been occupied since I went to hospital. On Halloween.
Halloween?
Oh, dear, Sid forgot to clear these bureau drawers.
Never mind about it, Aunt Emmy. I'll take care...
Lucy, what's the matter?
This drawer's full of ties. Men's neckties.
Oh, they were left here quite by accident. You see, I rent this room out occasionally to tourists and salesmen. My last guest left those in the drawer.
What was his name, Aunt Emmy?
Collins. Albert Collins. Why, Lucy, I thought you'd gone to bed.
I couldn't sleep, Aunt Emmy.
You're not ill.
No, just restless.
Well, sit down, keep me company.
Aunt Emmy?
Yes, dear?
Why did you have to stay at the hospital as long as you did?
Oh, they wanted to look me over and ask a lot of questions.
What kind of questions?
I can hardly remember. Would you like some hot coffee, Lucy?
Oh, no.
I've just made some. It should be ready by now. Excuse me.
Oh, I'll answer that, Emmy. Hello?
State Police calling.
State Police?
Yes, we're issuing a warning to all residents of Colville. A woman inmate at the state hospital for the insane has escaped. She's in this vicinity and she may be dangerous. Paranoid type. Be sure and...
Hello?
Who was it, Lucy?
Aunt Emmy.
Who called just now?
The police... I mean, I'm not sure. Something happened to the phone.
The phone? Let me have it. That's odd. Oh, well, the heavy snowfall must have pulled the wires down. It's happened before.
Can we fix it?
Not before morning. Are you sure you don't know who it was who called, Lucy?
Quite sure.
I think you'd better go to bed.
To bed?
You look so tired, Lucy.
Oh, I'm all right, Aunt Emmy. I'd rather not sleep in there alone.
Would you like to sleep with me in my room?
No, no.
Lucy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just not tired, that's all. Please don't coax me. Besides, it's still early.
Well, I think I'll go down to the cellar and bank the furnace fire.
But it's so warm in here right now.
No, I like a real hot fire.
But what about Sid? Doesn't he do that?
He's probably gone to bed. I won't disturb him.
Well, do you want me to go with you, Aunt Emmy?
No, I'll manage alone. Somehow I manage to do almost anything alone. Lucy.
I just thought I'd join you, Aunt Emmy.
Oh, but it's so drafty down here in the cellar.
I don't mind.
Lucy, there's something worrying you.
No, Aunt Emmy.
What is it, my dear? What's frightened you so?
Aunt Emmy, please answer me directly.
Answer? What for, Lucy?
About that hospital. Aunt Emmy, tell me, did you...
Lucy, what is it?
That axe there in the corner. It's got blood on the blade.
Why, so it has.
And there's a pool of blood, Aunt Emmy, on the floor.
Lucy. Lucy, dear. It's Aunt Emmy.
What happened?
Oh, you fainted, Lucy. I carried you up here.
Oh, that blood on the cellar floor.
It was only chicken blood.
Chicken blood?
The roaster we had for dinner. Sid must have killed it downstairs.
Where is he, Aunt Emmy?
Sid?
Yes, I want to talk to him.
What on earth?
Oh. Let me go, Aunt Emmy.
Lucy, I...
Where is his room?
Oh, over there, across the hall.
Sid. Sid.
Doesn't he answer?
Sid!
Just a moment, Lucy. Why, he's gone. His bed hasn't been slept in. I can't imagine.
He may be in the woolshed.
Oh, not in this weather. No, he's gone. And I had such faith in Sid. I didn't think he'd desert me.
Could he have walked out through the snow? It may not be so deep.
Close that door, Lucy. You'll catch your death of cold.
I can't even see the road anymore.
You couldn't get through that storm alive in 1,000 years. What's the matter with you, Lucy? Why are you behaving this way? What did you want with Sid?
Nothing. Anymore.
We don't need a man around. We're perfectly safe. No one will disturb us here, Lucy. We'll spend the night alone. Just the two of us.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Time, like falling snow, adds up its hours quietly. You can sometimes hear the seconds go by, but the passing of the years is always silent. As silent as a country house marooned in snowdrifts, cut off completely from the world, and sheltering two women who are playing hostesses to terror.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning, Lucy.
I heard the chimes.
Shall I put another log on the fire?
If you like. You're very strong, Aunt Emmy.
I always have been.
You carried me up the stairs from the cellar like you would have carried a baby.
You'll always be a baby, Lucy, to me. I can remember when you were 5 years old. I took care of you while your mother was away.
Do you know what was wrong with Mother, Aunt Emmy?
Do you?
I wasn't supposed to know, but I found out.
She went crazy, Lucy.
Yes.
She and Father. They said it ran in the family. From Father to...
How can you talk about it, Aunt Emmy?
Isn't it better to face the truth? Sometimes it helps you to understand. Do you remember your mother very well?
Yes.
We were twins, Lucy, she and I.
That's why I was always so fond of you.
And I of you, Lucy.
I still love you, Aunt Emmy, in spite of...
In spite of what?
Let's talk about something else.
Come over here and sit with me.
No, I'll stay where I am.
Lucy, what's wrong?
I wish you hadn't spoken about Mother, that's all.
She was a wonderful woman.
But she was a paranoiac.
Is that what they call it?
She had a persecution mania. She even...
Killed a man, yes. Poor Flora.
And now?
And now?
Oh, Aunt Emmy. Aunt Emmy.
Lucy, darling.
Don't come near me.
Lucy.
Why don't you go to bed? Why don't you leave me alone and go to bed?
I'm not tired anymore. Oh, Lucy, you worry me. I know you're not yourself. I want to get a doctor for you.
Now? Can you get one now?
No one can get through these drifts until morning, when the snowplow clears the way.
And I wanted snow so badly.
Lucy, I have something here that could put you to sleep. Some pills. Will you take them?
No, never.
But they're harmless.
I won't eat or drink anything while I'm in this house.
Well, Lucy, the way you talk, one would think I was trying to poison you.
I don't want anything, do you hear? Nothing.
Just as you say.
That coffee you gave me before.
Coffee?
I drank it all. What was in it, Aunt Emmy? What did you put in it?
Nothing, Lucy, nothing at all.
How do I know?
You know because I'm telling you. And I always tell the truth.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course you do. I'm sorry, Aunt Emmy. I apologize.
That's quite all right.
I apologize for everything I've said tonight. Don't pay any attention to it, please. I've been overworked and nervous. Please forgive me.
Of course, I understand, my dear.
Aunt Emmy.
Yes?
Why is it so warm in here?
I told you before, we keep the furnace hot.
But it's so warm, it's uncomfortable. It's getting almost hard to breathe.
That's just your imagination.
Let me go down to the cellar and have a look.
Stay where you are, Lucy.
Why? Is there something you don't want me to see?
Whatever do you mean?
I mean inside that furnace.
There's nothing inside there. But embers.
I don't believe you.
Lucy.
You're burning something down there. That's why you rake those clothes yourself. You're burning something.
Lucy, be quiet.
I'm being very silly, aren't I?
Very.
You wouldn't hurt me, would you, Aunt Emmy?
Oh, never.
Aunt Emmy, you always said you loved me. You still do, don't you?
More than anything else in the world, Lucy.
Then let me go. Let me leave here, please.
In the storm.
I don't care about the storm. I'm getting out.
Lucy.
Let me go. Let me go.
Be quiet. Be quiet, you hear.
Oh, all right, Aunt Emmy. I'll be quiet. But please let me go.
Sit down where you were, Lucy. And relax.
All right.
You'll get sleepy soon. Then you can go to bed.
No, I want to stay up all night. I don't want to sleep, Aunt Emmy.
You don't have to. Providing you're quiet. That fire seems to be dying out.
What are you doing with that fire poker?
Tending the fire.
Why don't you put it back in the rack?
No, I'll keep it here. With me.
Aunt Emmy!
Yes?
I've changed my mind. I am beginning to feel very tired.
Do you want to go to sleep?
Yes.
Good, I'll see you at your room.
Don't bother. I'll go alone.
Oh, nonsense. I'll go with you. And I'll tuck you in. There, you'll be comfortable in here.
It's still so warm. I'm going to open those shutters. Why won't they open?
They're locked from the outside, Lucy.
Why?
Because of the storm.
That isn't the reason.
If you open those shutters, Lucy, the snow will come in. And I don't want you to catch pneumonia.
Aunt Emmy, I demand that you open those shutters.
No, Lucy. You'll sleep with them closed tonight. Good night, my dear.
Good night.
Pleasant dreams.
Aunt Emmy! She's locked me in! She's locked me in!
Time moves on. I wonder what the clock holds for Lucy.
Who's there? Is that you, Lucy? Lucy!
Keep away from me.
What are you doing with that kitchen knife?
You're not going to kill me, do you hear?
Kill you?
You took the fire poker when you went to bed and you locked me in.
Oh, did I? It must have been an accident.
It was no accident. You deliberately locked me inside my room. What did you plan to do, Aunt Emmy? Strangle me in my sleep?
Lucy, how
I got
could
out.
You?
Yes, I got out. There was a screwdriver in the drawer. It took me 3 hours to get that lock off, but I got out.
I'm sorry
about
that.
How did you plan to get rid of me? The way you got rid of Albert Collins?
Collins!
You killed him. That's why he's been missing. You killed him and burned him in that furnace.
Give me that knife, Lucy.
And last night you killed Sid. Lucy, don't deny it. I saw the axe and the pool of blood. Chicken blood. Do you think I was a child? Do you expect me to believe that?
I said, give me that knife.
You put Sid in the furnace, and that's why the house was so hot. You burned him, Aunt Emmy, but you're not going to do the same to me.
You're wrong about Collins, Lucy. He may have disappeared, but I have nothing to do with it. I explained that satisfactorily to the police.
The way you are going to explain Sid's death and mine?
No, Lucy!
You won't kill me because I'll kill you first with this knife. Now, Aunt Emmy, now!
No,
I'll kill you, do you hear? I'll kill you!
Lucy. Lucy, stop.
Here she is, Doctor. Here she is. Aunt Emmy's insane, completely insane, like my mother was, but I'm going to kill her.
It's all right, Lucy. Everything's all right now.
Yeah.
You're perfectly safe. With me.
Safe?
Give me the knife, Lucy.
The knife?
That's a good girl.
Thank heaven. Sid got through to you in time.
Yes, he just made it, Miss Hobson. And he got the snow plow to clear the way for us up the road.
Kevin, for that.
When did you find out, Miss Hobson?
As soon as she walked in here. She didn't realize that I knew where she'd been for the past 12 months.
Lucy?
Yes, Doctor?
We go back to the hospital now?
Yes, Doctor. Goodbye, Aunt Emmy.
Goodbye, Lucy, darling.
It's been a pleasant holiday. A very pleasant holiday. I've had a most enjoyable time. And I remember you to Mother.
And that was the story of Lucy as recorded by the clock. What was I saying about the country before? The quiet, the peace. Apparently the city is much less wearing on the nerves, but Be that as it may, I'm still a rural booster deep inside. I love the rolling hills and valleys, but most of all, I like the people. They treat me well. They make the most of me. From sunrise when the chores begin to sunset when the fire is lighted on the hearth and the family settle down for a well-earned rest. And on Sunday, I put on my Sabbath best and roost high up on the steeple of the church. No elegance up there. No chromium-plated grandeur of the city towers. Just a rustic simplicity. A good place to spend my time.
The Clock will be heard again next week, same time, same station. It was written by Lawrence Klee and Harp McGuire narrated as The Clock. As Lucy, you heard Coralie Neville. As Emmy, Lynn Murphy. Others were Tom Farley, Ken Wayne, and John Tate. The Clock is directed by John Saul, a Grace Gibson radio production.
From December of 1946, it's been The Clock and Aunt Emmy. Well, with that, we'll bring to a close another edition of Yesteryear. We're here every week at this time and hope you'll make it a day to join us again next week for more of the best of the golden age of radio right here on Yesteryear. Till next time, I'm Craig Roberts. So long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes. Use our imagination, a comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show, radio. I miss you, sodio, volio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
KSSR-DB San Francisco, where the big bands swing.